This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we got one game in the book, so it's one of my favorite times of year where we get to talk ball with Jay Lehman, Illini All-American linebacker. We get to break down a 38-6 win over Wyoming for Illinois football. They start off on the right foot. And welcome in the honorary captain, Jay Lehman, going out there, getting honored by the team at Memorial Stadium. What was that like, Jay?
That was a lot of fun. You know, I felt really honored. Coach Bielman called me earlier in the week and said, hey, want you to be the honorary captain this week. And so got to talk to the team on Friday prior to their walkthrough. Got some swag for me and my son, you know, so I can look fresh in my Illini gear. And then on Saturday afternoon, we were able to, you know, have a little food before the game and get on the field with my family, take a couple pictures, kiss a few babies. And go walk and actually do the coin toss. Now, I didn't call the coin toss. We did lose the toss because Wyoming, as the visitor, calls that. I just got to watch and act like I was doing something, which I really did nothing. But it was a great honor.
I mean, that's got to be good. I mean, Bielma seems like he's reaching out to a lot of different areas, Jay, whether it's fans, yeah, Students, and alumni. Sure. Seems like he's been part of that, too.
I think he gets it. He gets what it means to be a college football coach. And how it's more than just the players that are there currently. It's the players that you are recruiting to come in, the players that have been there for generations, and of course the fans. And, you know, it's been a long time, I think, since an Illinois football coach, at least at this point in his career, has been as well-liked as Brett Bielema is. You know, I don't think Beckman ever reached that popularity. I don't think Lovey ever reached that popularity. So I think he's on the right track, and Saturday certainly helped that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very high on this Wyoming team, Jay. I wasn't going in given all the losses they had. I'm not very high on them after seeing what we saw. But Illinois took care of business, right? And we've seen – I was in the booth with you as Illinois lost a Group of Five game. I went back and looked, Jay. They were 6-5 against Group of Five teams over the last 5 years, 6 years.
Wow, I did not know that. You know, I remember I think it was the Eastern Michigan game with Fred Glass or somebody named Glass that was tearing us up at quarterback. Obviously, UTSA last year, but we've had way too many of those over the years, and it's good to actually get one and knock it out. It never felt like it was in doubt.
Yeah, I mean, so overall, what is the big takeaway? I don't know if we learned that, oh, Illinois is definitely going bowling on Saturday, but what's your big takeaway as a former player who's been through these?
Yeah, first off, just big picture stuff. Other than the Josh McCray, you came through healthy, right? I don't know what Josh's status. We'll find out, you know, later today. You know, we record this on Monday morning, yeah. So, you know, we're going to figure that out. But I think staying healthy, number one. Number two, I really sense a confidence when it came to the defense. Like, it was, there was no panic. They give up a play. There's a lot of confidence on the back end, to be honest, and without a ton of pressure on the quarterback. And we can talk about that. But also, I saw poise from the offense, mostly from Tommy DeVito. I saw some poise. So offensively and defensively, that's what I've seen. Special teams had some ups, had some downs. But I think overall, when I look at the football team, I felt, if I could just say a word, it was comfortable and confident. Yeah. I didn't feel like they were – I mean, there were some penalties, yeah, there were some mistakes. But I never felt like there was a panic or there was a moment in the stands where people felt like we're not in control of this football game. So I think that was the general feel I had for the week zero game.
Yeah, at one point I leaned over to Joey Wagner, who was 17-6, and Illinois had punted, and I was like, is this where it's going to get tight? And it didn't, right? Like, so even if a fan had that feeling, it felt like the team never had that feeling, Jay, which is, it's a small step, right? Like, there's got to be big strides for this program, but there got to be small steps along the way. Last year was competitiveness. I think the step they could take on Saturday was blowing out what I think is going to be a team at the group of five who struggle. So they did it, right?
Right. I mean, they took care of business, and, you know, they're on to the next game and whatnot. I do think from a big picture what the week zero has done, I know this has been talked about, but you get to start earlier. You get a weekend where you can get a lot of recruits there because there's not a lot of recruits. I mean, there was no other Power Five game in the region. Northwestern was playing over there in Ireland, right? And so if you're a Midwest guy and you wanted to go to a game after week one of your high school season, where were you going? You were probably going to the Illinois game, right? So that's a good thing. And Brett said it too, he's got four Saturdays that they'll have off this year to recruit. And you know, because they're playing Friday this week, Chattanooga on Thursday, and have two bye weeks. I think just the bigger picture of what they're trying to build, I think the week zero, again, makes a lot of sense. Always feels better, of course, when you win both of them.
That's right.
If we would have lost both of them, we would have been done with it. But, right. You know, we feel good about that.
So, Jay, let's focus on the new things, which is the offense, right? The offensive play caller is different with Barry Lunney Jr. The quarterback is different with Tommy DeVito. First of all, what did you see from Lunney? I don't know how much of the playbook we saw, and I think that's probably a good thing going into Indiana, but what was different?
I think the biggest difference I saw in a word was spacing. I think he really understands route spacing. You know, I've said for years that I believe the coordinator for Ohio State and former Indiana head coach Kevin Wilson, one of the best coordinators when it came to spacing in the country, even when Indiana was not great. They had great offenses under Kevin Wilson. And it kind of reminded me, didn't have the deep shots of Kevin Wilson that he has, but it kind of reminded me the spacing concept. There was this guys all over the field in different route concepts that they were able to get the football out to him. So number one, spacing. Number two, an awareness of the situation. So a lot of the guys will script their first 15 plays. I'm not sure if Barry Lunney does that, but I'm sure he has some semblance to that. But, you know, on play two after that big Chase Brown run, he's in the red zone. And I think he goes off script right there, I think, because he knows in the red zone they're probably going to be in man coverage, which they were. So he ran the motion to the opposite side, put Chase Brown on a backer. He knew that's what they were going to be in inside the red zone, and that's a matchup they wanted to exploit with a wheel route in the second play. So the ability to say, okay, let's go off script, and let's go into what will we go on script for our first red zone play in kind of what we call the high red zone, which is kind of that 15 to 25 area, and hit Chase Brown. It was good to DeVito get on a good path, good start. And then third, I saw a lot of safety valves in everything that they do. There's one or two routes that they're going to try to take a shot on. I mean, they did take a shot to Tip Ryman early in the game, hit him in the helmet. I don't think he saw it soon enough. But Tip's a guy I want to touch on because I thought he looked really big, number one, and looked solid. But what I saw is there's a ton of drive route concepts in there. When drive route is basically you start on one side and you drive all the way across the field and quick outrights. We saw Pat Bryant catch a quick out, which is just a timing route for a touchdown. We saw a couple other guys get open. Isaiah almost got that first down on his first catch on that deep drive route. So there's a lot of different things right there as far as safety valves. And a lot of times he just checked it down to Chase or checked it down to Josh McCray for a safe play. He looked really, really poised. He had a lot of time to throw the football. And so what I saw was spacing. I saw the ability to go off the script. And I saw a lot of drive routes, a lot of option routes out and dump offs that if the initial play wasn't there, they can still get some positive yards and go through. Where last year, you know, we didn't complete 50% of our passes at all. It was like, hey, if that first guy's not open, you're either getting sacked or we're throwing the ball away.
Yeah, Jay, and there's just quick hitters to me, which is, you know, some of these RPOs that they would run. Brian Hightower's, you know, a short hitch for 5 yards, and all of a sudden you're second and five. Like, that seemed like a dream last year. Or he'd break a tackle and he'd get a first down. You just feel like you can get ahead of the chains a little bit more. Like, how do they do that? Is it, why weren't they able to do that this year, and how are they able to do that now?
Well, I mean, we saw the RPO, you know, really done to perfection by UTSA last year against us, right? And they had some a receiver and a running back that really tore us up, and we saw more of that. I didn't see as much as I thought I would see. I saw a good chunk of it, right? Enough to know that's going to be a big part of their offense. I think they wanted to work some different things, but I think when you have Chase Brown, you absolutely have to respect as a running back. With probably seven guys in the box, I say six guys when it's spread out. I'm saying, you know, whenever you spread out more than that in the box, seven, eight guys in the box, if it's kind of condensed formation. So you have to respect them on that. And then it's just the timing aspect of it, and a quarterback that can be accurate enough on that slant throw, right? I mean, we saw him miss it. Somebody missed Isaiah early in the game, threw it behind him a little bit on the RPO, but for the most part, it's there. We saw Casey Washington make a big play on a third down on the RPO, a contested catch, which so many times we didn't make contested catches. So, and also, the offensive line on the RPO has to make it look the same. And it is the same for him, but it has to be executed the same over and over and over again. And so I thought they did a tremendous job as far as the first time playing together as an offensive line in live play. I think it's a little bit different. And so I was high on the offensive line.
So, Jay, Tommy DeVito didn't set the world on fire, but he didn't have to, right? And he doesn't have to, I don't think, this year. Like, he's going to face tougher tests. He's going to have to make difficult throws. I thought his best throw was the one to Pat Bryan in the cover two there later in the game. But what did you notice out of him in his first full game with Illinois?
I do like that throw, that whole shot to Pat Bryant. It was on that cover too. But I think with Tommy DeVito, number one, I think a lot of people have stated this. He never looked panicked.
Yeah,
he looked really poised. I think that's what you want. He had time for the most part. I think he has an understanding of the situation. You can tell he's 24 years old, right? And you know, for the most part, there were some balls he missed, but I thought it was fairly accurate on a lot of passes. You know, I know they're going to knock on him for some of the stuff that you know, not throwing the football down the field, but, you know, he threw a great ball to Tip Ryman, hit him in the face. He would have had more yards too. Isaiah had a couple plays that were called back. You know, one time he's down on the touchdown pass. The other time, I think he had two decent run after the catches called back.
Yep.
Because of penalties. And one was block in the back, another one was something else. So I think he did a great job of not locking in on one receiver. I mean, last year it was like Isaiah Williams. It was lock in, this is where we're going. I think 12 or 13 guys caught the football.
Mm-hmm.
They did have some design stuff for Isaiah and for Chase, for sure. And I thought Hightower was a big body, you know, that they can throw the football to. And so all those things combined, between the poise, being a field general, and having the smarts, the wherewithal of what he needs to do. And one time he sprinted, like, seemed like 40 yards to get out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
Like, and gained like 2 yards. You're like, kind of, why are you doing that? It's just an awareness of the situation, wanting to stop the clock, try to get points. And so I was happy with what I saw Tommy. I think he has some throws he wants back, but I think if you're Barry Lunny Jr., you think you feel like, okay, that's a good first start. And I'm positive that Barry didn't show everything that he's got for that game. And let's just remember, once you put the subs in, you're most likely just going to run your basic 5 to 10 plays that you want your subs to get really good at.
Yep.
And that's what they did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jay, didn't take a lot of deep shots. Wyoming seemed like they were playing a lot of quarters, a lot of deep guys. They wanted to keep everything in front of them. But they do have to prove that they can be a vertical passing team, right? Like, to complete that, to Tip Ryman, to can a wide receiver get behind a defense? I don't know. We don't know that quite yet, because Deuce Spann was the only guy who could really do it last year. So what's the next step you want to see for this offense against an Indiana who's going to be a bigger team? But as you said, I think you're going to see more of the playbook against the Hoosiers.
Yeah. This is kind of an outlying thought, but I look at some of the defensive backs we have, and I'm like, could we steal one of those for offense? You know, I look at Devin Witherspoon. I look at Sidney Brown, even Quan Martin, you know, and I'm like, those guys have the length and the just explosiveness that I feel like we lack a little bit on the edge. Certainly, that's not a knock on them playing defense, right? Thought they played well, but it doesn't seem like right now where the program's at, we have many athletes that fit that mold, right? And so, you know, Jonah Morris kind of has a bigger build, could be something. You know, I don't know though who's going to really stretch the field and go up and get the football. I think that's yet to be determined.
Feels like Pat Bryan is really important for them.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we saw Pat Bryan the whole shot on the out route, and Pat's only a sophomore, correct?
Yeah.
I think Pat can be a good football player. I'm not sure he's a burner, but I think he has good enough speed and the length to make a few plays down the field. I think it was a little too young last year. You know, let's not forget, I had a chance to be on the field and a walkthrough on Friday, but on the field for warmups, I was sitting right by the tight ends. I was astounded at the size of Tip Ryman. I mean, this is a big, big tight end. I don't know what he's listed at, but I can tell you just looking at his thighs and his legs, he looked like he was bigger than all the other tight ends. He looked like he was like bigger than Luke Ford. Luke's not a small guy, you know? So, I mean, Tip Ryman looked big. And so I think Luke was a little bit banged up. I don't know how many two tight end sets we'll see either. Because that's a pretty deep room as well. So I was impressed by the way Tip looked. And if you look how Tip blocked, he had some real devastating blocks if you actually watch the tape. And the ability to get to the second level as a tight end. So I was actually really impressed by him. So that was a guy that I know he dropped his one pass to him, but I thought blocking wise he did really well.
Jay, you said you kind of liked what you saw of the offensive line. I thought the tackles looked really good. Interior-wise, those are all new guys, right? Alex Postrom at center, sure. Zy Chrisler, Isaiah Adams I thought had a strong game, but there did seem to be some miscommunications up front. Like how quickly or how long does it take for an offensive line to gel?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. We it wasn't too many years ago that we had an offensive line that led the country in starts to get, you know, or something like that. We had like 130 starts our offensive line and we're ready and they were okay. I mean, they had Doug Kramer and they had Kendrick Green and those guys are in the NFL. So I mean, they're solid football players, right? So I do think the more years you play together, the better. But when you have JUCO transfers and the transfer portal, that's getting harder and harder to do. So I do think they're going to make a big progress from week one to week two. That's a cliche. But I think the first three or four games are kind of critical to get together. I thought Palcheski and Julian Pearl were really bookending, you know, both of it. They really took the defensive ends out of the game. I really like the ability, though, of all those linemen, those two guards, to climb to the second level. And what I mean by that is – not just block the guy in front of you, the defensive tackle or nose tackle or defensive end, but really getting to those linebackers. And they were more mobile than I thought they would be. I kind of thought they were going to be plotters, but they moved. And so I think the offensive line, I thought they were going to be average this year. I think it's a chance to be a group that's a little bit above average. I think Pilstrom's got to get the experience at center that he needs. He's obviously it's a new position, and there's a lot of responsibility on center. But again, I come back to Tip Ryman. I think he's a huge asset in the blocking game. I really do. If you watch the tape on his ability to handle a defensive end one-on-one, I think he's doing some good things.
Yeah. I think that group is pretty talented. As you said, Jay, you saw him up close. That's a much bigger offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're all over 6'5", number one. So they're tall. I mean, mostly in the Beckman years, but I mean, I remember seeing guys that had more gut than butt, like we talk about, right? And this is like, man, there's light in the loafers, and there's definitely a certain body type that they want. And here's the thing with somebody that's taller, you can put more weight on somebody that's tall. That's obvious, right? So they like that taller offensive lineman, and they like to put a lot of weight on him. And we didn't even get to see Chase Brown really start to hammer in the second half. I mean, if he really – he could have had 250-300 yards if they really would have leaned on him and needed him to because I think that offensive line and Chase would have just gotten stronger.
Yeah. We didn't even bring up Chase Brown, Jay, just because we know he's really good. But like, it's amazing we're this far in. He's one of the best in the Big Ten. I mean, what makes him tough as a defender?
Well, I think it's obvious to see that I think he's just at a different gear than everybody else on that field. He whether he is faster in a 40-yard dash or not, he certainly is playing faster than most everybody on that field. He's got a real unique ability when you watch him run vertically. He has the ability to just cut ever so slightly and not lose speed. You'll see him do it a couple times. It's a unique cut. And Jerry, you know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. He's running full speed and he makes a guy miss, but he doesn't look like he's slowed down. That's a really rare thing. I think the knock on Chase has always been, can we hold him back from hitting the hole too soon? Is he going to have patience? I think he's done better at that. I think the first run was a great example of that, where he stretched the play, then put a foot in the ground and got north and south, and then has the ability to outrun angles. We saw that time and time again. And also, they want to throw the football to him more. We saw that in the second play of the game, and then also the third play of the game. They want to throw him the football and can be a weapon. I saw, though, he was improved blocking. I thought that at times last year, he wasn't great at protecting. I saw him take a couple backers out, legs first. You know, so I think he's an NFL back. I think if he stays healthy in this offense, I think he'd get upwards of 1,500 yards. Let's not forget, it was up until game 5 last year, because he started banged up in September, that he had like 120 yards. He ended up with 1,005, you know? I think he could be a 1,500-yard back. I also think, if he stays healthy, he can be all Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's switch to the defense, Jay. Ryan Walters, you always want to carry stuff over, right, from the previous season of building on it. You mentioned the defensive backs. They look well coached, don't they? I mean,
they really, really do.
I mean, just what stands out about that group? Because, I mean, as you said, they did some zone, but it was basically, I trust these guys to make plays. And I know Peasley didn't have a very good game, but they were part of it too.
Right. I don't know how much of it is, you know, Ryan Walters is a defensive back by trade. I know he was a safety. I don't know if they ever say that he helps out the safeties and DBs more or whatnot, because, I'm drawing a blank on the cornerback's coach name.
Aaron Henry, but yeah.
And Aaron Henry's a great coach too. He's the guy, I mean, there was rumors that, you know, Florida came after him when Brett was coming after him to coach, you know? And so Aaron Henry obviously played at Wisconsin during my era and whatnot, but he's done a great job with Witherspoon as far as, I think Witherspoon's an all Big Ten guy, candidate as well. Plays with a chip on the shoulder. We saw the pick. We left a couple picks out there. Yep. But, you know, the guy who I saw make a lot of breakups and the coach's praise is Quan Martin. We've seen Quan for years. He's finally kind of developed. I think he has the ability to have kind of a Kirby Joseph year if he wanted to have it. And Sydney's solid all over the place. I think Sydney his ability to hit people and come up and tackle, all those guys really can come up and tackle as well as cover man-to-man. I think what's just so rare is that we don't see – for years we just saw receivers wide open. We didn't see that. So it's they're kind of like, okay, well, they're pretty solid. And they just look like really good athletes in the back end.
What stands out about Quan? I mean, I was just noticing he's switching between free safety and nickel and kind of going all over the place. Like, that's good for his NFL prospects, Jay. But sure, what stands out about him as a player to you?
Well, I think he's got ball skills. So he's always kind of run the ball as far as he can make picks. He's always getting his hand in there. He's big enough now. I don't think when he got here, but he's big enough now to really tackle and come down into the box if he needs to. But I think he's a great counter to what Sidney Brown is, yeah, you know? And again, can kind of fill that Kirby Joseph role. So I think Quan is an instinctive, smart guy. But I also think, too, some of those young guys, the guy in there, Bailey and Jennings, and some of those guys impressed me, you know? Kendall Smith impressed me with some of his breaks on the balls and whatnot. So, again, it was a quarterback that had – like two career starts prior to this, transferred. So I don't know if it was receivers, the quarterback, or just the play of the defensive backs, but overall I thought they played well. I think Quan, just his versatility from you know, nickel to safety and everything that he does is a big plus.
I don't think Ryan Walters unveiled a lot. I think it was pretty vanilla with the scheme. Yeah. Didn't see a lot of blitzing, right, all of that. But you mentioned it, Jay. There are only 20 pass attempts. I think only one hurry, no sacks. And they did run the ball. Wyoming had some runs, whether it was Peasley on the keeper. Illinois seemed to lose contain there. And then Swen, who's a really good player, probably could play at the Power 5, had a couple runs. What did you notice from the defensive front?
Well, first, just schematically, we had, you know, a true nose tackle. A lot of times last year, it was just Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph. Sometimes Roderick Perry would be in there and rotating in, but we had a true 3-4, meaning three down linemen playing the majority of the snaps. So I saw, you know, Keith Randolph, I saw him up close on Friday and also saw him up close on Saturday, and he's an NFL player. I mean, there's no doubt the way he moves, his length, his strength. Johnny plays a little bit different because he's shorter and plays with, you know, extreme leverage and whatnot. But Calvin Avery, we talked about this before the show a little bit, but Calvin Avery looks like he's in way better shape, got consistent push. They've really coached him up and challenged him, and he's risen to the challenge. So I think those three set the tone for everything else. Yep. Part of the reason there wasn't a ton of pressure, a lot of their pass plays were rollouts, sprint outs. Trying to buy time for their quarterback, Peasley. I think Zeke Holmes and Coleman aren't necessarily where Gay or Carney were at the end of last year. I think they can get there. I think Yakis, is it Gabe Yakis?
Hackis, yeah. It's a weird
Hackis,
name.
Hackis, Yakis, Yakis, Hackis. He looks the part. And I tell you what, just I think he's gonna find his way on the field, whether it be in pass packages or whatever it is. He certainly looks the part. And Bryce Barnes got some reps. He's a guy that Gibson City guy that, you know, got some solid reps in there. So on the front, I think they're, you could always use more D linemen. Yeah. Always, right? But I think they're starting to build some actual depth there. They got us a little bit on some of the zone play. And I think that's something that could be cleaned up. But as far as the front goes, that's what I saw.
Yeah. All right, Jay. We look forward now to a bigger test. We'll learn a lot more about this football team with every game, but really stepping up from a group of five opponent to a Big Ten opponent, but it's not like you're going to Michigan. You're going to Indiana, a place Illinois hasn't been in 9 years now. Indiana coming off a 2-10 season, 0-9 in the Big Ten. They have changes at coordinator. Haven't seen them play yet, but what are you most looking forward to against Indiana on Friday night?
Yeah, so of course it's a Big Ten opponent. So I'm looking forward to see what Barry Lunney's offense looks like, and I'm looking forward to see what Ryan Walters, when he actually blitzes, when he and does some interesting different things, what he's going to draw up for Walt Bell's offense. Walt Bell is the offensive coordinator for Indiana now. You know, he was the UMass coach, but he's also the Maryland coach under DJ Durkin. And so I've seen Walt Bell coach, and, you know, they're going to air it out. They're going to spread the football out. They're going to air it out. They're going to run the football out of spread formation. I think Indiana is such an interesting case study because, you know, 2 years ago, that great year, then last year, a ton of injuries. They lost a lot of guys. They've also recruited decent over the last 2 or 3 years. So some of those guys are older. So you're kind of like, Tom Allen's usually got those guys ready to play. And with Indiana, usually they're in their games into the second half. Mm-hmm. Not last year, but they're always into the game the second half. I would not be surprised to see this game come down to the fourth quarter. And really it's going to be a question of who can finish. For a while there, Indiana was at a time where they lost tons of close games in 2018, 2019. I did a lot of those games, couldn't get over the hump. And Illinois was kind of there last year, right? Mm-hmm. Lost a lot of close games. We talked about Tommy DeVito. Can he get 5 to 7 more first downs? He did last game. Can he do it in this game with his legs, with Isaiah Williams, with Chase Brown? Can they get those first downs? And what's Barry Lunny got up to sleep? I'm sure he's got more than what we saw in the first game against Wyoming.
So, Jay, is somebody that saw a crowd that I thought had some energy in it. Winning this game would not only be important for the season, but I think if you win this game, you get one in the Big Ten, of course. You get one towards a bowl game. But that could be a fun crowd against Virginia. I think this is a big game for Illinois to win to kind of build some buzz, build some momentum, build some confidence.
Absolutely. I think this game, it's your first conference game, first off. But second off, you did everything that you need to do in week zero. Now, as we go to week one, which is your second game, to get a conference victory like they did last year against Nebraska in week zero, to start out 1-0, to beat a neighboring state, right? I mean, Indiana is a team that we're going to battle some guys at least out of Florida for, right? Because, I mean, we battle similar guys out of Florida and Georgia that we want to get against Indiana. And I think just as a big picture, this is a game Illinois needs to win. You look at their schedule. We know it gets a lot meatier the back half than the front half. But to take the next step as a program, a good football team would go on the road and beat Indiana. They beat two top 25 teams last year in Penn State and Minnesota. This team believes they can win. I think we're really going to find out a lot about Tommy DeVito. I think we're going to find a lot about this offensive line. I hope the defense continues its progress and as good as advertised, but I do think it's going to build a lot of momentum for that Virginia game. And there's no way they're looking past Virginia after what happened last year. I mean, there's no way, even if Tony Elliott's the new coach. And then you go into kind of a bye week, kind of long week, because Chattanooga's on Thursday, and then there's like another little half bye week. So they've got Brett really schemed up the schedule well. If he can win, right? Yeah. So he's got to figure it out.
All-American analysis from Jay Layman. Always appreciate the insight. You can check out his VIP film room breakdown with us as well. Jay, great talking to you. Talk to you next week, man.
Always fun. Take care.
Stuff as always from Jay Layman. He's the goods, as you all know, and he'll be with us throughout the season. And we just recorded our VIP film room as well, and I highly suggest signing up for those. Our VIP membership, I think, is very valuable for what you pay, and I think we give great coverage everywhere. But, man, Michael Tuip on basketball, Jay Layman on football, I just learn something new every time I talk with them. And it makes me football smarter. I think it makes you football smarter. When Tuip's on, it makes us basketball smarter. Just understand what we're seeing on the field. And you watch the game a different way after you hear from these guys. So I enjoy it. I gain a lot from it myself. But I think if you're a VIP member, you gain a lot from it as well. So check that out. And you can check out our VIP phone rooms every week after every Illinois football game. And we do once a week with Michael Tuip and Illinois basketball as well. So check those out. As always, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We appreciate you. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get our podcasts. Also, if you could check out our YouTube page, give us a like, subscribe to us there. We put out a lot of content there. If you like the YouTube, if you get sucked down the YouTube channels like I do, we appreciate it. Give us a thumbs up on the videos when you like them and comment and build a community there. We appreciate all your support in all the areas at Illini Inquirer. So everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
News. CBS Monday.
NCIS.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching, these have been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.